rotated. You really rotated me, haven't you? And it was funny, the guy that told me I'd be going back into the office, actually, to take over Larry's job. And Larry was coming up here. It was a case of they were best buddies sort of thing, and he must have wanted the job more than I did. And they said, we're moving you out. And I was a bit upset at the time, and he said to me, he said, I don't want you going around this building telling people you've been kicked out, because that's what I, in my opinion, that's what was happening. And I said, well, I've got to tell them that I'm leaving. I mean, 16 years of knowing these people,
yeah,
I've got to tell them I'm leaving. And he said something, I don't know what brought it on, but I said, Brian, his name was, I said, look, Brian, I said, I could go upstairs right now and get a letter that stops this in its tracks, because the PMs was above us, directly above us. And he says, well, I hope you don't do that. I said, no, I wouldn't do that. I said, I work for Telecom, they've paid me, they're my boss. You're telling me I'm moving out? I'm moving out. I'll move out. He said, yeah, I don't want you to go with a struggle. And he said, I want you to go without a struggle, meaning, you know, I really thought, it was funny, I walked around the usher of the Black Rods, and I said to Bill, I'll be leaving in a couple of weeks. They've shafted me. And I thought Bill would say something like, you know, oh, we'll get it stopped. They're not taking you out of here. Instead, he stuck out his hand. He said, well, thanks, Bluey. Thanks for all the work you've done for us.
Now, what year are we talking about here?
90. End of 1990.
So this is a rotational thing, is it? Because didn't you go back to the new Parliament House?
No.
Oh, you didn't, eh?
No, I was stuck in the office. I said to him one day, it's just because of the air conditioning, all the windows were sealed, you couldn't open windows. And I said, just as well they got these windows sealed. And Ian said, why? And I said, I think I would have jumped.
Oh,
a week ago. I hated the office, absolutely hated it. And they didn't like it that I knew what I was doing in the office as well. I knew there was a new test desk and a computerised test desk, and I learned how to operate it, and they sort of resented it, the fact that I was coping with the job, but I wasn't coping. There was a guy who sold lollies up there, and the chocolate frogs in the, every time somebody bought a chocolate frog, I'd say, can I have the wrapper? And I'd cut the frog out and stick it on a skewer and put it in the pot plants around the floor. And they knew it was me doing it. It was driving me up the wall. And then they announced that Telecom, it was in those days, Telecom had signed a contract with the ACT government, which it was a new system called Spectrum. And it was like they turned Canberra ACT government into a giant PABX, if you like. They used all the exchanges, linked all the exchanges, and it was their private network. And the job to cut it over to the private network meant disconnecting all the small PABXs that were around the place. All the commander stations had to be replaced with a single line telephone. And I almost begged the bosses in there to, I said, this is right up my alley. I said, this is mass movement like this. Anyway, they said they'd try me out. And after the initial cutout, like we'd cut over the assembly, 600 phones. We'd go in on Friday night. On Monday morning, the phones would be working on the new system. We recover all the phones that were there. Any dial, rotary dial telephones had to be push-button telephones. And the ACT government ended up with a contract with for the phones. And would you believe it? I don't recall the name.
That's okay.
Old timer's disease. So we got boxed, we had thousands of them. There was about 15,000 services in the end were operating off Spectrum.
Okay.
And we changed them over, like the assembly, the TAFE colleges. Bruce Campus was about 600 lines, I think.
Mm-hmm.
On Friday night, 5 o'clock, everyone went home. We'd move in, connect the new, because it meant recabling the buildings from the exchange, because where they had, say, 200 pair lead in with the PABX, they had another, they had, say, 400 or 500 phones. But for 400 or 500 phones, you need 400 or 500 pairs of wires into the building, back to the exchange, because they had their own dedicated number. Whereas when you're called in to a PABX, you're called an extension off the PABX. So they didn't need as many incoming lines. And that went. We got a lot of. There was for the big jobs, like I had 4 techs under me. But for the big jobs, you'd bring in there'd be a dozen people walking around, because they had to recover what was there. And if it was a PABX extension, it had to be cabled right back down to the room. Oh, sorry, it was already jumped. It had to re-jumper it from, take it off the PABX, put it on there. So the techs would walk in and say, I had a list. I was usually the cutover doing the jumpering, and they'd walk around, test the line, see if it was right, if it was wrong, if it was not working, we'd have to fix that up. If it was the wrong number, that'd have to be fixed up. I can remember working here till the bosses walked in on Reed Campus about midnight, just to see how we were going, because that was the first big cutover.
Right. Yeah.
I said, everything's under control. I've got me six pack on ice there for when we finish. We'd work, and one guy in the office was complaining that we'd work, we didn't have a 10-hour break. So I'd go home, go back to work on a Sunday, and you like Saturday, Sunday we'd cut over, and then I'd go back on Monday to check, like clean up. And Peter had complained that I was on, because I didn't have the 10-hour break, I was on overtime rates for the rest of the day.
Were you still in the union?
Yeah. Oh, I got that too. CPU, Communications, Electrical and Plumbing. Yeah.
So you were only at the new Parliament House until 1990, is that right? Mm. And during that later time, when you were in the office and then you had that major job that you've been talking about, did you come back to this building at all to do any work?
The only thing was private contractors would be connecting phones around the place, and they wouldn't know the location of a frame, or where does this phone go? You know, I'm in room M128 or something like that. Where does that go? And I'd either know, or I'd say, look, I'll have to come down and see it. And I'd walk them around. Out the back in the kitchen area, they couldn't find the little distribution frames, and I'd show them, and I'd say, look, it's all on the plan, in the, showed them where the plans were, but they'd still ring you up and say, I can't get this phone connected.
And that would have been, I guess, in the late 1990s that was happening, when they were trying to get this building as a heritage building?
Yeah, right up until, I used to get calls when I was working for ACT government, or I worked there from, I think, 91 to 2006, when I...
And then you retired in 2006, so was that because you'd worked long enough, or... You were...
No, in 2005, my oldest daughter died in Sydney, and she was 29 years old. And I struggled for the next year or so, and where Telecom had lost the contract TV.
Win?
No. ACT government owned.
Oh, the ABC?
No, I can't remember. Anyway, they lost the contract because they were going completely digital. They didn't need, they were using their computers for their communications. We were staying on there because the schools didn't cut over. there was me and two other techs working there, and they moved one of the techs out to Tuggeranong, and there was just me and Stavros working the we wasn't supposed to be doing it, but you'd fix up the new digital phones, you know, you'd move them for them and things like that when we shouldn't have been, because we were out of contract. We were only to work on the Spectrum, the telecom lines side of it, which was all the schools wouldn't cut over to it. I think they were having trouble with their network. They're still having trouble with their network, yeah, I think, yeah. Their computer network, ACT government. When my... It was sort of getting to the stage where one tech could do the work for what was left. There was still a couple of thousand lines, but they were very reliable. So he didn't have many faults. It was just moves and changes. And in 2006, I said to my immediate boss, I said, look, I'm no good anymore. I said, I'm buggered, you know. I'm not interested in the work anymore. I was just grieving, I suppose, for my daughter. And I said, I want out. And they Telstra offered me redundancy, and I took it. And they done the right thing by me. They said, you've got this much, you're worth this much. Yeah, I think I ended up with 104. They paid my super. I had my super fund and long service leave and something else. I think they invented it, but it was an extra $104,000.
Very good.
They give me.
Very good.
And people would say to me over the years, still working for Telecom, still working for PMG, still working for Telstra, why don't you get a job with... I said, because I know what I'm doing, I like my job. They couldn't understand why I'd stayed so long with Telecom.
When you, after your retirement, did you get more involved with the telephone collecting and the, you know, cataloguing your telephones? And
yeah, cataloguing. In 2004 I was... diagnosed with Parkinson's.
Gee, that.
And it's very, it's slow moving. It's, I could keep it under control, but any time I tried to do something intricate on, like soldering wires in an old telephone that I was fixing up, I'd get the shakes. And I had to give that away, which sort of pointed me in the direction that I've got a telephone collection. It's all on Excel. Database, and I've got old badges and coins and cards, sports cards and things like that. Got me into a new sitting at the desk. I had to learn to left-handed, change from left-handed to right-handed with the computer, because if I was using my right hand, occasionally I'd get an involuntary twitch sort of thing, and I'd wipe out some of the info that I'd took me a day or so to write it, to put in.
Are you a left-hander?
No.
You're right-hander, yeah.
I did start trying to, because my signature is just a scribble now. I can be completely calm, not shaking, and if I sign my name, it's just a scrawl.
Mm.
It takes over like that.
Yeah.
I had a experiment with, I decided I was going to learn to write left-handed, but it's too, I don't know, I just can't.
And you were really, have I got it right that you were collecting phones right through your career?
Yeah.
So yeah. You ended up with, can you count how many there were? Like, have you?
Well, my Excel file is, I've got 500 or 600, I'm thinking, items, like, but they're not all telephones. But I'd have probably in excess of 300 telephones.
Mm. Yeah, they look great. I saw them at the Canberra Museum. Saw that display of some of them.
They still haven't answered my question how they come across me. But it's funny, looking in my briefcase, 18 years ago, I had the application paperwork to put an exhibition of the phones in the gallery, because they had a separate little area and I can remember I asked a girl there, and we were cutting over the phones under the new system, and I said, how do you get to, I was looking at the exhibition that was there at the time, and it was a private exhibition, I said, how do you get your private exhibition in there? And she said, give me all the paperwork. And she said, well, it's all booked out for at least 18 months. And I forgot about it. And when it came up that they asked me.
Yeah.
I found the old briefcase under the snooker table at home and opened it up, and here was the application. It was the same. The application paperwork they sent me was the same as what I'd got 18 years before.
Mm. Yeah, well, it's a great exhibition.
Well, 8 years maybe it was.
Yeah, and that's the Canberra Museum and Gallery, isn't it?
Mm.
And you've also been very generous in what you've donated to us too, for which I thank you on behalf of the museum. It's,
I've got some more there that I've got to see Alex about. You're asking about the staff association that was in here, the Commonwealth Parliamentary Staff Association. I've got the snooker champion and darts doubles champion trophies at home. I've got to ask Alex if he wants that sort of thing.
Oh, I think we would want that, yeah. That's all part of the history of the building, you know.
Mm.
But, look, I reckon we've pretty much come to the conclusion of the interview, unless there's anything you want to say, just to wind up.
No, I was a bit apprehensive when you asked me, first got in touch with me, what sort of things would come out. And but reading that interview you gave me, I read that and I said, oh yeah, that'd give a person a... I kept thinking of things that my grandchildren's children and things like that will see up there, Whitlam's or Hawke's phone and the little plaque beside it donated by Neil Baker. That's or in the site on the internet, in the site website.
Yeah.
It's got Neil Baker, who was a technician in Parliament House for this many years, donated this.
And they'll have access to this recording too, because this is digital. It'll be here 100 years at least.
Yeah.
So the great-great-grandchildren will be able to hear your voice and your story. Yeah.
Because it's funny when you hear about when this place was built, they interviewed the great-grandchildren of... They're on TV for some reason or not.
Yeah.
And you think, oh, that's, you know, it'd be nice to be remembered like that.
All right. Well, thanks again, Neil.